these cultures come together to make the New York attitude. You have to realize all the people that came here because they were miserable wherever they were.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. He is a familiar face. He's been making America laugh for a long time. His Netflix special, Colin Quinn, The New York Story, is available exclusively on Netflix. It is great to say hello to the aforementioned Colin Quinn. Colin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ed.
It is great to have you on. Now, The New York Story, the grit, the attitude, pretty much presented in typical New York style. So I'm imagining as well, if you don't like it, pretty much screw you. Am I wrong?
Well, that's a good way of putting it. You're 100% right. It's just one of those things I really wanted to do for a long time,
yeah.
And I'm just, I'm so glad I got to do it, you know.
It's a history lesson, right? I mean, it kind of gives understanding to why New York attitude and why New York is what it is.
It's it's a history lesson, and it's an ethnographical meditation, Ed.
It's too smart for me then. I can't watch it. I just can't watch this. Yeah, I watched the trailer. I mean, it really looks funny. It's based on, you had a hit off-Broadway show of the same name.
Yeah.
Now, we all brought things to Ellis Island that contributed to this melange of humanity. New York is unlike any other place. I grew up in Jersey. It's got its own personality. It's got its own smell from time to time as well. What is it that makes New York so damn different from everything else?
Well, I feel like a lot of it has to do with the subway. Because once you're on the subway, it's everybody's kind of in each other's space, like everybody else's cars.
Yeah.
You know? At some point, you're in your car in your own personal world. And you're in a world with other people that you know and that you trust. At the subway, you're in a place every day, at least twice a day, where you're with strangers and people you don't trust and psychopaths and angry people and just people that are different. You know what I mean? Just old, young, rich, poor, and that's it.
And you do it at like 8 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. There is no such thing as personal space. For those that don't know what it's like to be in a New York City subway, you are face-to-face with somebody that you would never imagine you'd be face-to-face with, ever.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's part of the beauty and the horror of it all, you know?
With the emphasis on horror. The special,
yes.
It's directed by Jerry Seinfeld. All right, now when I hear directed, I'm thinking like Harold Hecuba, the beret, screaming into a megaphone. Tell me what Jerry did with the project.
Jerry put the whole, he brings not only the structure, not only the like outline, but like he'll actually tell me, what are you trying to say there with that joke? And I'll be like, I'm saying this. He goes, well, don't you mean to say this? And I'll be like, damn it, he's right.
You know, that's important, too, because sometimes, I guess, you can get locked in your own world. I mean, when you're doing your own thing.
Yes.
You need another voice. I mean, for any stand-up, that's so important because, yeah, you're home, you're doing your stuff, you're writing your set, you're practicing in front of a mirror, but you need outside influence to kind of break into your own head once in a while.
That's correct.
Now,
that's correct.
You've done tons of sold-out stage work all over the country. You've done a ton of TV and film work. What is the difference for you? Do you have a preference at all?
Like everybody in stand-up, I prefer stand-up because you're saying what you want to say. Nobody's editing it. Nobody's second-guessing it. And let it die or kill on your terms. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's everything because it's like, otherwise people are like, well, you know, we don't feel this will work. And it's like, no, I'll find out right now what people think of that joke. You know what I mean?
That's any kind of performing. I mean, that has to work its way through any kind of performing like that as well.
Yes.
You know, that is so incredibly important as well. Now, you came around when real guy comedy was still just developing, the 80s, the 90s. Until then, you know, for the most part, other than guys like Carlin and Pryor, comedy was so damn buttoned up. I mean, a guy's out there, every hair is in place. It's punchline, you know, joke, punchline, joke, punchline.
Right.
You were one of the first guys to come in there and say, this is what I am. This is my attitude. This is what I do. Was it hard for you to kind of develop with your own personality back during that time?
It was, believe it or not, it was harder with the audience and than it was with the comedians. The comedians from day one, they treated me like gold. They loved what I was doing. I mean, I feel like they kept me in the business. The audiences didn't respond to me for many years.
Really?
And many still don't. But I mean, but the comedians were the ones from day one. I was a comedian's comedian. The audience, the industry, they really didn't get me. The comedians did. So for my life, I love comedians, you know.
And you were given some pretty decent opportunities to kind of explore and expand on your own attitude. I remember there was an episode of the Larry Sanders Show where you play Rip Torn's son, but you're essentially doing the Colin Quinn persona. I mean, you were kind of doing what you are known for there. So you were given certain opportunities, Ben Stiller Show, other things. So yeah, you had an opportunity to kind of break out of a certain mold that other guys really didn't have.
Well, once again, comedian Gary Shandling,
right,
and Judd Apatow were the guys at the Larry Sanders Show.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, once again, it was stand-ups, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, and that was such an incredible show, and it was so damn ahead of its time. I mean, you still watch that show now. It's so fresh.
It's unbelievably ahead of its time. It's unbelievable. I mean, it was great then, but it's like, you're right. It's just, it set the whole tone. Even a show like The Office, which we all thought The Office broke the mold.
Right.
It was really kind of, Gary Shandling was the first one.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know, a lot
Larry
of people,
Sanders, I mean. Yeah.
Larry Sanders. And a lot of people don't realize that show kind of set HBO up for what it became, because they took a chance on a show. No network was going to put that show on at that time. Nobody would take a chance. And that kind of developed HBO into being able to take chances and do things that regular network television just could not do.
You know, you're 100% right. I didn't even think about that, but you're 100% right. And how about this?
What?
How about the fact that Gary Shandling turned down The Tonight Show, The Real Tonight Show?
Isn't that amazing? And you would think that he would be perfect for that. That blows my mind, to think that he turns down The Tonight Show to do this on HBO.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, it is. I want to ask you this, too. I mean, we are getting so political with our comedy nowadays. I mean, let's be honest. I'm watching SNL the other night. I thought Kate McKinnon was going to offer herself at the piano there halfway through the song. Is it good or is it bad that we're becoming so political with our mainstream humor?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, it's obviously, it's good to be political, but there is definitely a very heavy slant. You know what I mean? It's not like you hear a lot of right-wing comedy. So it's like, And people go, well, a lot of comedians, you know, but no, they deliberately, there's a very one-sided thing that can be a little bit preachy at times.
Yes.
Let's put it that way, you know.
Yeah, it certainly
can. So it's
can.
Good.
Yeah.
So it's great that it's people should say whatever they want, but that's not always the case, you know. So people are like, well, you know, everybody has to say what, and it's like, ultimately, if you're the rule of any comedian, and most comedians, I can't think of a comedian that would disagree with this,
mm-hmm.
is if you're being funny, then you should be able to say whatever you want. You know, that's
right.
How we look at it.
That's exactly
we
right.
don't, and that's what it should be. You know, but I do feel like in the industry, and I don't blame the comedians, I blame more the industry. There's definitely, for all their edgy, their fake talk of pushing mm-hmm. envelopes and edginess, they're very, they're very ideological.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how it is.
It is how it is, and it's not going to change. One thing I love to do when I have somebody on, last question, is we pull out somebody's IMDb, and we go way back into the years. We go back to the early, early days. I didn't realize this. You were a gift shop clerk in Three Men and a Baby. Now I got to watch this damn movie again just to see this. I didn't know that.
Well, it's worth watching just to realize that I've always had a weight problem.
Oh,
and that
see.
Movie is certainly no exception.
Yeah.
I'm probably banging in about 205 in that movie.
There's nothing wrong
not
with
wearing
that.
Well.
Hey, you're a real guy. You know what? Come on. There's nothing wrong with
yes,
that.
Yes, I am.
All right. Once again, Colin Quinn, The New York Story. It's available exclusively on Netflix. Follow Colin on Twitter as well, at I Am Colin Quinn. Colin Quinn, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. Take care. Have a great day.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. There he goes, folks. And this was interesting in a couple of ways, because here at the old radio station, as we were recording this, don't know if you're able to hear this in the background, the emergency broadcast system started going off, and it kind of threw me, didn't know if it threw Colin, and all of a sudden here I'm grabbing for dials and switches and everything else, because it sounded like all hell was breaking loose. It was just a test. But again, it's the skill of the host to be able to plod through, because Colin was on a tight schedule, because we couldn't just say, you know what, Colin, we're going to start over again. No, couldn't do that. My, oh, my, oh, my. So anyway, Colin Quinn, I always liked him. Do you remember Remote Control back on MTV? It was like the first show that kind of broke away from the whole video thing. And what about Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn? So the guy's funny as hell. And we didn't even talk about when he was doing Weekend Update over on SNL. And it was kind of different, because he wasn't polished. He just, he is what he is. And He's an everyday, every man's comedian, and he's true New York, and it does look like a really good special. So, and he's got Seinfeld directing it. To me, that's still quite a weird dichotomy. You know, here's a question. Did he do, and I'm looking at faces here in the studio, did he do that Comedians in Cars with Coffee with Seinfeld? I don't know. That's a really, really funny show. They actually did one of the episodes near where I live. But if he hasn't had Colin Quinn on, he should. I should check that out. But anyway, we mentioned Colin's Twitter handle. He is one of the more interesting comics on Twitter. Sometimes he tries to be exceptionally provocative, intentionally provocative, may I say. Colin Quinn, The New York Story, available on Netflix. And again, isn't it amazing how certain things now are just bypassing even HBO and everything else, and they're going right to Netflix? It's a whole different world, folks, and it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. When Jim proposed to Judy, he gave her a very expensive engagement ring. But a few months later, Judy broke off the engagement. Since Jim spent so much money on the ring, he asked for it back, but Judy refused. She said it was a gift, and Jim had no legal right to take it away from her. So can Judy keep the ring? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Engagement gifts are given with the expectation that marriage will take place. Since Judy broke off the engagement, she must return the ring, or Jim can go to court to recover it. And that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here taking your child in for their shots. Maybe you're getting a flu shot, maybe you're afraid of needles, or maybe you're just putting off getting a booster shot because you think it's gonna hurt. What to do? Trick the brain. Here's the biological science of it. Well, the truth, shots hurt, but there are ways to minimize the pain. Now, according to a recent study in the Journal of Pain and Symptom Management, before you're stuck with a needle, ask the nurse to apply firm pressure to the injection site for about 10 seconds. The shot will hurt about one-third less. What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, it has to do with competing brain pathways. The pinch pressure tricks the brain and it sort of misses the sharp signal. Or maybe it's just as simple as the pinch hurts more than the shot. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.